You're listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Thank you for tuning in for this Unity Partner Program. Unity Online Radio partners with spiritual leaders from organizations whose mission and messages complement Unity's. We are pleased to bring you this program on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Thank you for tuning in for The Soul Directed Life with your host, Janet Connor. If you're ready to identify and connect with the voice of your soul, find a comfy seat, grab your journal, and get ready because this hour will be filled with ideas and questions you'll want to capture in deep soul writing. Now, here's your host, Janet Connor.
Go inside to find my God.
Welcome. Welcome to The Soul Directed Life, the radio show that helps you notice, recognize, and respond to the calls bubbling up from your soul so you can live a soul-directed life. I'm your host, Janet Connor, author of Writing Down Your Soul, The Lotus and the Lily, and my newest book is Soul Vows, the mystical practice that answers the all-important sacred question, how shall I live? As far as I know, no one's told me otherwise, so I think this might actually be a fact. The Soul Directed Life is the only radio show walking the medicine wheel this year. We have themes, monthly themes that mirror the natural rhythm of Mother Earth's four directions and four seasons. If you've been with me since January, you know we rested in the north in winter. We awakened in the east in spring, and now for July, August, and September, we are walking the vibrant wisdom of the south and summer. The south and summer is a season of flourishing. Isn't that a delicious word? Flourishing. It's the sun at high noon, and the south calls us to hone in on, focus in on, pay attention to our emotional life. In the season of the cycle of life, it's young adulthood with all that vitality, all that energy, but also all that angst, all that trying to find your way. Dancing with the Wheel says this about the South. The South is the place where many people seek their visions and ask the Creator to point them in the right direction. Often, after the Creator has made this direction known, people have to follow it so rapidly that they must learn to trust the Creator and not question their path. That's the crazy part. We have a tendency to focus on, what's my vision? What's my vision? What's my vision? But actually, I think the place we need to put our energy is on, okay, now, how can I trust this path? How can I stay on this path? How can I feed myself as I'm walking this path? Well, our theme for July, I think, holds the answer. The awakened, energized, creative soul heeds the call to live from the heart. And my guest, Locke Kelly, oh, has he walked a beautiful path of open-hearted awareness. And he has experienced the freedom that comes when you live from the heart. He's with us today to share how we too can experience this incredible shift into freedom when we live from the heart. What we are about to hear has the potential to change us and change us at depth. To help that happen, let's ask the voice of the Tibetan bowl to call us to listen. And listen very deeply. While she's singing, I'll tell you a little bit about Locke. He is a highly recognized leader in the field of meditation and psychotherapy. He was asked to teach meditation by Mingyur Rinpoche and Adyashanti. He answered that call and founded the Awake Awareness Institute. Locke teaches this practice to thousands, including inner city youth, and he collaborates with neuroscientists to study how awareness training enhances well-being. He's the author of an exquisite new book, Shift Into Freedom, The Science and Practice of Open-Hearted Awareness. And he's with us from his home on the Upper West Side in New York City. Welcome, Locke.
Thank you so much, Janet. It's great to be with you and all your listeners.
Oh, it's a joy to have you. And I hope you know, I trust that you know, that every guest opens the conversation with some kind of invocation, a blessing, something to get us tuned into the direction and the season on the medicine wheel. Would you help us welcome the vitality, the wisdom of the South and summer?
Absolutely. So let me just say that the view of open-hearted awareness is seeing that each of us is already this awake, loving awareness, and that instead of having to create it or develop it, we can simply shift into it. We can uncover it and discover it. And when we do, we find out that below our worries and fears, below our chattering mind and attempts to hold it all together, is a loving presence that is who we've always been. So let me just offer a little guided meditation to help with that. And it's interesting, we'll actually be dropping from, we could say, the north of our head into the south of our heart. So if we experience the way that we usually organize our way of knowing as thought-based knowing, and we look to thought, we look from thought, and we try to be as wise or smart as we can, there's another kind of heart which is often called heart wisdom, sacred heart, heart mind, awakened heart. Even the Catholic theologian St. Augustine used the term oculus cordis, which means eye of the heart. So it's almost as if we're shifting our entire head to our heart. We're relocating from our discursive mind, our thought-based mind, to a kind of non-conceptual, loving, inclusive mind. So now let me just ask people, just without even knowing how to do this, just perhaps you do it already naturally or it happens unintentionally, just allow yourself to be aware of your senses, be aware of thoughts and sensations, particularly happening in your head and your eyes, and then simply unhook awareness from thought and have this awareness, which is the knowing intelligence of wisdom, just unhook from thought and have this awareness feel down into your jaw, feel your neck and throat directly from within, and let this awareness drop down, heading south, down into a kind of open heart space. So rather than your physical heart or even your heart chakra, let this awareness unhook, know directly from within until you find this awareness and aliveness, a kind of door to your higher power, a kind of presence and intelligence that knows all as well, a kind of interconnected, unified sense of not having to look up to thought to know and not looking down from thought, but actually abiding and resting deeper than sleep as that which is wide awake, a kind of intuitive sense of well-being that's here all the time, and a feeling of coming home. So just let yourself rest at home in this heart knowing without going up to thought to know. In fact, as you rest at home in this open-hearted awareness, you can use Wi-Fi to the files in your head and have them come home so you don't have to go and live in your office. So just allow yourself to see what it's like to look from the eyes of your heart, to know that all is well, and to still understand the words I'm saying and the discussion we're having, so you don't have to go back and locate yourself in your thoughts as we continue. And that's beautiful. So we'll just continue to remain here and know from this heart mind. It's awakened heart.
I loved the wording, rest at home.
Yes.
Rest at home. Rest at home. Huh. Locke, this book, Shift into Freedom, is just, it's just overflowing with beautiful stories, beautiful exercises, and it opens with this powerful scene of pain that simply dissolved. It just dissolved in the night. Would you share that story?
Sure. This is something that happened a while ago, but it was my first taste of recognizing that there was a wisdom and a greater boundless sense of support that was here. I had had quite a year while I was in college. I had lost my father, who had been battling cancer for 2 years. And then later that year, my grandmother, who had been living with our family for 12 years, had just passed away. And on top of that, one of my best friends from the ice hockey team, which I was on, went to visit his girlfriend and died in a tragic car accident. So I'd kind of been plunged deeply into a sense of grief that felt completely overwhelming, and trying to get some help, but it seemed none of my friends had been through this, and so it was hard to find that support. So one evening after coming out of the library, walking up a hill, all of a sudden I heard this loud thought in my mind: I don't know if you can take this pain much longer. And I just stopped and stood still and kind of looked to see who was talking, who couldn't take this pain. And as I kind of turned within or just stopped, all of a sudden my thoughts quieted and my heart broke wide open. It felt like the weight of my despair lifted, and the little part of me that was trying to keep it all together and solve all this and handle all the emotions that were so much bigger than it relaxed. And instead of falling apart or falling into my unconscious, I fell into this heart, which was bigger than the world. And it opened me to the space all around, to the night sky and the beautiful stars. Tears started running down my cheek. But as they did, I kind of laughed and cried at the same time. I felt that there was something else that was here that was me and not me, that was really connected to my consciousness, that was available. And I went on a journey to find out what that was and how to access it, not only unintentionally, but intentionally.
Such a powerful, beautiful story. And it does make me think of what Dancing with the Wheel said, that this is the place where many people seek their visions and then they get pointed in the right direction. And then you got to follow it. It's exactly what happened to you in such a powerful, heart. And that languaging of your heart got broken wide open. You hear this in all mystical traditions, that when your heart is shattered, when your heart is cracked open, that's when God, for lack of a better term, just can fly in.
Yes.
So thank you so much for sharing that story.
Sure.
I had a hard time just settling on a few quotes from this book because there were so many. But here's an important one, I think. Quote, I'd been teaching mindfulness meditation for 20 years when a friend gave me a book and told me the author and I shared the same way of talking about awakening and unfolding. I went to meet and sit with American-born meditation teacher Adyashanti, who soon after invited me to join him in teaching a modern, non-dual approach to awakening. This approach emphasized awakening in the midst of your everyday life. I had first studied this type of approach with Tibetan teacher Tulkul Urgen Rinpoche in Nepal. Well, so we haven't all had a chance to go to Nepal. Would you please tell us more about this way of awakening, and how did you learn it in Nepal?
Yes, so as I mentioned, I had been learning meditation just like I learned so many other things in school, as if it was a technique, as if I needed to develop these set of skills that, like playing the piano or playing sports, or that it was a matter of accumulation and I would maybe get better over the years and I would master it and kind of be in control. And in some ways, there certainly is, you know, a new habit and daily repetition that's very helpful. But this method that I was introduced to in Nepal was a way to immediately, instead of kind of creating a new meditator in my mind, was to actually let go or surrender or stop trying or just see what's here when there's no problem to solve on the level of identity. So that's something that is like a pointer to this. If you could even see right now, some people at home listening could see what's here in this moment if there's no problem to solve on the level of identity. If the little problem solver that we identify with in ourselves, a kind of mini-me, can relax its secondary job of trying to satisfy itself, then in this moment, when there's no problem on that level, we can drop into our natural sense of well-being. So the method is kind of small glimpses many times rather than long periods of meditation. And there's kind of a direct recognition or ability to use awareness to shift out of identification with our small sense of self, a separate sense of self, and then drop into our heart or open into spacious awareness and then feel that that spacious awareness is also embodied. And this returns us home to who we've been all along when we stop creating a sense of an extra self on top of all this.
And the book is full of these glimpses.
Yes.
Here's a, I don't want to say exercise, that's not the right word, but it's a little taste. Here's a taste. And it does seem that many, myself included, upon thinking that meditation is this thing I've got to learn, and gosh, I'm not very good at it, and I've got to sit here for 20 minutes, and it's frustrating, and it doesn't happen. And then you throw up your hands and say, well, you know, this doesn't work for me. This is a total shift for me to see it as glimpses. It's a very, very different and more welcoming, more natural.
Yeah.
It felt to me the book is just full. The book is just one invitation after another. And after we take this short break, are we going to have an invitation? Because Locke's going to explain something I found stunning in the book. Awareness is not found by calming the mind, changing our thoughts, or adjusting our attitudes. Everything you thought you were supposed to do.
Wouldn't you like to share the programs that inspire you most with audiences around the world? That's easier than ever with mobile giving. Just text Unity Radio to 72727 and help us continue offering spiritual programs that change lives.
Did you know that the Buddha gave us the formula to create a beautiful, abundant life? Did you know that Jesus gave us the formula to create a beautiful, abundant life? Did you know that both these masters taught exactly the same thing? And guess what? They did not teach the law of attraction. They taught the great paradox of prosperity. You can have anything you want. Why, you can have things you don't even know you want. But not by wanting them. Instead, put your attention on the vibrant presence of the divine within. Do that, and your life will change. It has to. That is the natural order. Want to crack the code on the great paradox? Get Janet Connor's The Lotus and the Lily, available everywhere great books are sold.
Does the idea of being a vegetarian or a vegan intrigue you? Is it something you've pondered? Listen each week as Victoria Moran, author of Main Street Vegan, shows you how to make the shift to a sustainable lifestyle for both you and the planet. Each week you'll learn about the latest on the vegan life. It's not just for celebrities and moguls, but for people just like you who want to look and feel amazing, eat extraordinary food, help animals, and create a physical body perfectly attuned to spiritual growth. Guests will range from Unity ministers to vegan authors, activists, physicians, chefs, and even some of those glittery celebs. There'll be recipes, ideas, tips for going vegan at your own pace, and ways to make a difference for animals and the planet at every meal. Tune in Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Central Time for Main Street Vegan, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
I will leave this world as it is, go inside to find my God.
You're listening to The Soul Directed Life with Janet Connor. Do you have a question or comment? Join the conversation by calling 888-55-UNITY. That's 888-558-6489. Or post your comments on Janet's professional Facebook page, Janet Connor, The Soul Directed Life, or on Twitter with the hashtag Soul Directed Life. Now, back to the program and your host, Janet.
I hope you caught that Facebook page. I created a Facebook page just for conversations for The Soul Directed Life, and it's Janet Connor, The Soul Directed Life. Pop over after you've had the opportunity to hear this conversation and tell us about your experiences living from the heart, and I'll invite Locke to come and visit and answer some of your questions and join the conversation as well. Everybody who says something, not just presses like, although we love you to press like, but somebody who actually participates in the conversation, all your names go in the Tibetan bowl. And next week, Janet doesn't choose, the Tibetan bowl chooses, and I'm going to be pulling out, or the Tibetan bowl is going to be sending out, two names, because, sounds true, Locke's publisher will send a bundle, not only the physical book, but also the audio of the book, and Locke has offered to give some listener a 90-minute teaching audio of the Awakened Heart recorded at one of his evening classes. So I'll see you as soon as the show is over on Janet Connor, The Soul Directed Life. Locke, this, I underlined this, I yelped out loud, I stuck in a post-it note. Here's what you write towards the beginning of the book. The unique premise of this book is that well-being is not found by calming the mind. I went, what? Not found by changing our thoughts. Can't even count how many famous teachers have told us, change your thoughts and you'll change your life. Not found by adjusting our attitudes, but by actually shifting into a level of mind that is already calm and alert. I want to hear more about this path to well-being.
Yeah, so, I mean, certainly on some levels, it's helpful to have positive thoughts, to adjust your attitudes, to be mature, to show up, to do things. But these are developmental levels of functioning in the world. What we're talking about is not so much what thoughts and emotions are appearing, but the question is, who or what are they appearing to? And if we discover that the thoughts are not appearing to other thoughts, and they're not appearing to a thought-based identity, they're actually appearing to an open-hearted awareness. And this awareness is often what people call spirit, because it's invisible. It's an invisible sense of being. It's the ground of our being and identity. What I call awareness is the knowing prior to thought and the wisdom beyond thought. So it's an actual, though it's invisible, it's palpable. And when you shift into it, it's like a continuous intuition, or it's like a continuous sense of alert, thought-free, embodied sense of wholeness. But it's not just a place to rest. It actually becomes a way of operating. Many of you may have heard of something called the flow state. And the flow state, there's a someone who did a study called Csikszentmihalyi at the University of Chicago has made it famous. And this is basically highly functioning people who play the violin or sports or do other activities, that once they've mastered and done about 10,000 hours of activity, they enter this flow state, which means they're no longer thinking about what they're doing. They're actually in the flow. And being in the flow is something that we can live from. And when we've dropped from thought-based knowing to awareness-based knowing, we have already done 10,000 hours of talking, thinking, learning language, doing emails. So we have all those available once we are willing to experience something that we have to let go of control in order, but then we have to not just land in not knowing, but a kind of not knowing that knows, which is this open-hearted awareness.
Right. Everything holy is a paradox. Everything divine is a paradox. So it's the not knowing that knows. I mean, that is just, that's got to be a quote poster. It's the not knowing that knows. Or in language that I can get my teeth around a little more easily is visualize Martha Graham. You know, was she thinking about where her foot was going? No, she had become the dance.
Yes,
exactly. Right. Isaac Perlman, I think, has become, he is the violin. He's, you know, he's gone in Yo-Yo Ma. He's gone. But we don't have to be Martha Graham and Picasso. We can all have this experience. And my particular practice is deep soul writing. And I've never used that languaging about flow, but that's it. Because through you, without your left conscious mind participating, because you're writing so quickly that the poor left brain's going, hey, come back, hello, wait a second. And you've just left her, you know, in the dust. So now it's a flow state. And the proof of it is things come out on the page that you know are true. You utterly know they're true, but you know that you didn't come up with that thought, didn't come up with that idea. The knowing is knowing you. The thinking is thinking you. The writing is writing you. So thank you. Tell us again, where can we find this flow state study? I want to read this.
You can Google flow or flow state, and you'll see a long name that starts with C, Csikszentmihalyi. But I wouldn't dare try to spell it.
I actually got one of his early books out of the library, and I guess I wasn't ready. I read it and went, okay, next. So I think now I'm ready.
And I summarize it a little bit in my book as well.
Yeah, which does, let's hear it first. Summaries, thank you. And, you know, and sometimes you're just not in sync with a person's vocabulary, a particular way that the vision that they have or what they're writing about isn't yours, and you struggle. And then somebody else, long comes Locke, and now you go, well, of course, I see, I understand I'm in that not knowing, knowing stage, thanks to you and your beautiful book, Shift into Freedom. So here's another fabulous quote from you. Living from open-hearted awareness is the next stage of human development. Well, okay. How exciting to be on the cusp of the next stage of human development. What is it?
So it's a way of framing it to kind of take this, what's called awakening or open-hearted awareness or awakened heart, to living from a flow state, and take it out of this kind of place where it's esoteric, or it's only related to one religion, or you have to go into a cave or join a monastery, or, well, I have, you know, difficult emotions and thoughts, so I guess it's not for me, those kind of thoughts. It's a natural stage of human development in that we can all develop this kind of flow state or operating from awareness-based knowing. All we have to do is basically train to remain in it, recognize it, realize it, and then practice together as a community. And it's not, having taught basic meditation and having taught this kind of way of shifting into this new way of being and knowing, it takes about the same amount of time, and actually I find it easier for many people, and it's taught in a way that you do it with your eyes open in the middle of your day, rather than having to even leave to a quiet room and close your eyes.
That is the key. That's the key, right? Because we do have this idea, this impression. You know, we've been reading about too many mystics and too many hermits living in the caves, and we have this idea, well, okay, that's the price you have to pay for this kind of connection, communion, the presence, being present, when you really need it right here, right now, in this moment, on that phone call, in this radio show, reading this book, as I'm waking, as I'm sleeping. I want it to be the way I live.
Yes.
Not, okay, I have to go on an expensive weekend retreat in order to have a wee little taste of it.
Yes.
Ah. Okay, so now, here's another fabulous topic. In the chapter on the anatomy of awareness, you write, quote, emptiness, which is so essential in Eastern meditation traditions, is often misunderstood in the West as meaning absence, the absence of anything like an empty cup or a vacuum. The Sanskrit definition of sunyata comes from the root word, svi, meaning ripe with possibilities, like an empty womb. Now, I'm underlining and leaping up and down. because Neil Douglas Klotz's translations of Jesus from the Aramaic constantly return to this concept of ripeness. And then I'm deeply studying Lauren Artress on the labyrinths right now, because on this book I'm reading, every time we go down a sacred spiral and have an experience, we integrate it walking a labyrinth. What does she say a labyrinth is? A labyrinth is the womb, living womb. This is not just a metaphor. The living womb of the Divine Mother. So this idea of emptiness being ripe with life, it may be the most thrilling concept in this book. Tell us more about the emptiness that's utterly full.
Yes. So the other metaphor that's often used to explain emptiness is the invisible life force within a seed that allows it to grow into a tree. So we know the seed, we know even the DNA, we know the molecules, we know the atoms, but the space within the atoms, some life source, force, something even prior to energy is empty and yet interconnected to all things. So in some ways, emptiness is also a sense that there's no separate entity, that we're all dependent on each other. So there's a kind of unity in emptiness. And discovering this quality allows us, again, to kind of step out of the thought-based, controlling sense of a separate self and into this flow and into this emptiness that's alive with potentiality. And when we drop from head to heart, we can discover that there is this not knowing that knows, that is, feels a kind of unconditional love at the same time.
And my favorite paradox is my most favorite topic. And I, you know, once you have an interest in something, it's everywhere, right? I see paradoxes absolutely everywhere. And the paradox, more than any other that I've tried to chew for several years now, is Meister Eckhart. To be full, you must be empty.
Yes.
That's what you're talking about. It's the most delicious, exciting concept. And I, upon beginning to wrestle with it, my new prayer became, I want to be empty. I want to be empty. And the more I prayed to be empty, the fuller I got. It's a delicious, delicious paradox. And what's so delightful about it is here you are sharing something that you first learned in Nepal. I'm reading about it in Meister Eckhart, 13th century. Neil Douglas Klotz is telling us about what Jesus actually said in the first century. It's astonishing how we're all saying, feeling, experiencing the same beautiful thing. Well, one of the astonishing, beautiful things you share so many beautiful stories, but there's one about missing your subway. And I've been there. I've rushed down those stairs and gone, shit, and I just missed the train. And you had this presence. Tell us about missing your train.
Yes. So, yeah, just like many of us, it's that knowing that you have just so much time to get to a meeting and feeling like, okay, I think I can just make it. And then coming into the subway, hearing the train downstairs, and then rushing down the stairs, trying not to trip. And then the doors close just as I arrive. And there goes the train. And everyone's gone. And there I am alone in the train station looking at my watch, thinking, oh, no, feeling frustration. I'm going to be late for this meeting. I wonder what they're going to. And then going into kind of this separate sense of self, this thought-based worry. And then even with positive thinking, trying to say, okay, well, don't worry. It's going to be okay. It still kind of just wraps around itself. And then what I did is I did these kind of shifting exercises into this empty, awake awareness. And immediately the key is that there are intentional ways to do this in a short amount of time. So I did this. And then the other key thing is then they include the feelings, thoughts, and sensations in my body. So we're not just transcending or leaving, but it's transcendence and immanence. It's openness to find that which can include. It's the unconditioned awareness that includes the conditioning and the impersonal sense of spirit that includes everything personal. And so, but from a different context, a different view, a different sense of spacious open-heartedness. So when I did this, I thought, oh, this is so good. What could be better than this? And that day I happened to look in as the next train arrived and I walked in the door, I looked to the right and three sets of eyes just looked at me. And all of a sudden it was so clear that my heart, that I wasn't just a separate bubble, that I was connected to all these people in front of me. And as if a veil had been lifted and, I felt vulnerable yet safe and connected to everyone and everything. It's as if I truly understood for the first time that our eyes are the window to our souls, that I felt there was a connection heart to heart and that we were all in this together, both with our ignorance and suffering and with our awakeness. So I had that in me, they had that in them, but there was a kind of a commonality and a connection of interpersonal level that was really what began me to begin to define this move from just awareness itself to open-hearted. Yeah.
That is such an exquisite distinction. And that's what we're going to do after this break. We've been talking about, but now Locke Kelly is going to invite us to experience open-hearted awareness.
You have a coach in your corner, a life coach, that is. Like a coach in sports, a life coach can help you set clear goals and develop the confidence and tools you need to achieve them. Join certified life coach Carla McClellan Tuesdays at 3 p.m. for Vibrant Living on Unity Online Radio. Each week, Coach Carla and her guests will share strategies and solutions designed to help make your life more focused, more meaningful, and more vibrant. Do you have a specific issue or topic you'd like to discuss with Coach Carla? Call in toll-free Tuesdays at 3 p.m. during Vibrant Living, Life Coaching with Carla.
When you truly understand the laws of the universe and live a life based on these profound and unwavering truths, then your dream life starts today. No more waiting, no more wandering. If you're ready to let go of the striving and move into the allowing, you're ready for Everyday Attraction on Unity Online Radio. We study the teaching of Abraham given to us by beautiful Esther Hicks, so we can release confusion for clarity, exchange struggle for serenity, and have the time of our lives today. Join host Ray Zander every Friday at noon Central Time, 10 a.m. Pacific, on Unity Online Radio for Everyday Attraction, where the law of attraction gets real.
Thank you for listening to The Soul Directed Life. Here's your host, Janet Connor. Go
inside. So, Locke, before we go into the actual experience of open-hearted awareness, tell the listeners how we can find you, Facebook, websites, books, the Awareness Institute.
Yes. So probably the best and simplest way is to go to my website, and then that has links to everything else. To the book, to my Facebook, to everything. So it's simply the spelling of my name, www.lockelly.org. You can also put in .com, but it's .org. So that's Locke, like Lake in Scottish, yeah. Loch, and then Kelly with one E, LOCHKELLY.org.
Yeah, interesting name. You have the most beautiful name. What did your parents, are you named after a particular lake? Why did they name you Loch?
It's actually a name, Lachlan. So it's short for what was a last name of a relative way back. It became my middle name, L-A-U-G-H-L-I-N.
Nice Irish boy, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, said Janet Connor. Yeah, yeah. That's beautiful. I just think it's an absolutely gorgeous name.
Yeah.
So may we have an experience. I love talking with you about, but let's have an experience of open-hearted awareness.
Okay, so I'm going to, in a short time, it's almost, I'm either you have to be very simple or risk being, kind of give you a full experience and just hope you'll hang on and just let go and see what happens just go with the not knowing that knows. So simply I'm going to ask again, almost if we begin as we did in the beginning of the show, to just let all your senses be on and to accept everything as it is, whatever's happening in your mind, your thoughts, positive or negative, just let them all be as they are in your body too, whether you feel uncomfortable or comfortable, just let yourself be here. And notice the activity in your mind where we tend to locate ourselves, in our thoughts, behind our eyes, and just feel as if the intelligence of awareness just is identified or attached to the thinking process, to thinking about thinking. And even without knowing how you quite do it, just let like a bubble of awareness, like a feeling of local awareness, just step back from your thoughts into the space and then allow that awareness to know directly your chin and know your throat and then know directly from within your body the aliveness of sensation and the awareness of space until you find your heart space in the center of your chest that is not your physical heart, it's not your energy heart, it's actually open behind you and in front of you, like a door that connects you to others in front and connects you to your source behind. So just unhook, drop, know directly without looking down from thought, without looking up from thought, and just feel this open heart space that knows by itself. It's an open, intelligent source. And as you do now, just as awareness was able to drop down, I'm just going to ask you to open up and let awareness go behind your back, right behind your back. Maybe it's just an inch. Maybe it's a foot. Maybe it's the space in the room, or maybe it's the entire infinite source. So let this awareness look back, surrender back until it discovers this field of awareness that's already aware and knowing. So you are intentionally surrendering back until you discover this spacious awareness that's already by itself, without your help, feeling into your body and looking out of your heart at everyone and everything in front. So it's almost as if you're surrendering back until you discover that which is aware by itself, and then feel your body filled with this awareness and intelligence, and then a sense of it opening out. So you're looking from the eyes of your heart and feeling the room, everything and everyone, as if you're sending love out and receiving back compassionate expression, and then going back behind you. And there's a quote from someone called Nisargadatta who says, "When I look back and find nothing, that is wisdom. And when I look out and see everyone and everything, that is love. And between the two, life moves." So surrendering back to the source until you realize that awareness has your back. And when awareness has your back, feel the support and that intelligence of your higher power or that spirit that comes in, filling your heart and your heart mind where you're now located and throughout your whole body from toes to head. And then feel this opening to everyone and everything that is love. And then ride that wave so you feel everything at once, equally inside and outside. So there's a kind of a balanced, seamless, interconnected sense of being here, everywhere, nowhere, interconnected, without trying. Just letting everything be, both simultaneously inside and out. And just rest as this potential to be created, to be creative and related and expressive.
So that's, Lock.
Yes.
This is exactly what I have been in my own understanding and my own languaging, sharing with people as a new prayer, love, loving love. And this morning I drew a picture of it.
Oh, wow.
And it's this, okay, so looking out and forward, this is the connection and this is the field behind.
Yeah.
I drew a picture of it.
That's wild.
Now my picture, so I'm sending it to Christina Penza who can turn my, okay, here's my little, first grade stick figure and she'll turn it into, this is such a, confirmation. This is a different, deeper way of meditating, and I can feel it. It's in the moment. It can be in the moment. It doesn't have to be when I'm on my cushion with the eyes closed and the candle going.
That's right. Yeah, beautiful. So glad to hear that we're all discovering it at the same time.
How many years have you been teaching this?
Yeah, maybe 10, 11 years now.
Maybe 10. I've 10 days. I've been in love, loving love for 10 days. And now imagine how I felt, Locke, when it's toward the end of the book. I'm reading this chapter on open-hearted awareness, and I wrote in the margin, this is love, loving love. And then practically the next sentence, I read that a participant wrote, quote, I feel like I'm moving from awareness aware of awareness to love, loving love.
Yes, that's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
We are love, loving love.
Yes.
This is what we came here.
Yes.
This is who we are. This is how we're wired. We are love.
And this can be the next stage of development. This is where we have a meditative experience, but this is our natural condition from which we can train to live from.
Well, and when we live from, we can actually now make a change. Because one of the great frustrations with a meditation practice is, okay, you're in bliss sitting on your cushion, and meanwhile, the world is burning. How can these two things come together? Well, they can come together when you reach outward, backward, and now forward, and you bring that love, because it's love loving. There's the forward motion. What is it loving? It's loving the love, the divinity, the presence that's in every thing, everyone, every rock, every plant. We are love.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank
so,
you so
utterly
much.
And completely. We just have, let's say, 30, 45 seconds to say goodbye. Could you give us a final kiss of this shift to freedom? What would you like us to take away?
Yes, I would like you to take away that this is available to everyone, that this is who you truly are, that it's not an advanced exercise, it's not an advanced course of living, that wherever you are already this love, you are already this awareness that's awake, and I hope you'll find a way to come home and live from your home. And share it with everyone.
Amen. Oh, Locke, what a gorgeous conversation. What a gorgeous month. A whole month of Living from the Heart, and this unbelievable month draws to a close next Thursday, July 30th, with world-renowned chakra expert Cindy Dale, who is going to share with us her brand-new book, The Spiritual Power of Empathy, in complete alignment with everything we've heard all month, but especially today from Locke Kelly. That's our Soul Directed Life Book Club selection for the month, The Spiritual Power of Empathy. You're going to wake up all your clairs. So between now and then, come visit me at JanetConnor.com. You can learn all about Soul Vows, my newest book. Look at all the videos about love, loving love. There's actually a video called The Perfect Prayer about love, loving love. And you can click on the radio show and the best of and hear beautiful clips. We're going to get a clip of Locke today that'll go on the show. And there's transcripts. And be sure you subscribe to the newsletter, because next week I will announce the opening of 2 creativity courses, because your soul wants 5 things. And the 4th thing is to express its beauty fully. Until next week, may you hear and heed all the love, loving love bubbling up from your soul, and live a soul-directed, love-directed life.
I will leave this world as it is, go inside to find my God.
Thank you for listening to The Soul-Directed Life with Janet Connor. To activate the ideas you heard today, grab a pen and explore them for yourself in deep soul writing. Please post your comments about this and all Janet's shows on Facebook at Janet Connor, The Soul Directed Life, and on Twitter with the hashtag Soul Directed Life. Join us every Thursday at 1 p.m. Central for live discussions on The Soul Directed Life. This program is brought to you by Janet Connor, author of the bestseller Writing Down Your Soul, and The Lotus and the Lily, the first book to unravel the great paradox of prosperity. Learn more about Janet Connor and her Your Soul Wants 5 Things learning series at JanetConnor.com.
Go inside to find my God. Go inside.
Spirit of Recovery is the place where spirituality and recovery meet, where we support your spiritual growth. Reverend Anna Schaus, Ph.D., interviews down-to-earth guests who share with you how they keep going and growing in recovery. Spirit of Recovery is the place to get practical tips and join in lively discussions on topics that matter to recovering people. This program welcomes everyone who wants to know more about recovery. Join Anna and her guests live every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Central Time on Spirit of Recovery, where we talk about what keeps you growing. Only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Repeat the words, God is taking care of it. And it will become clear that you are the channel, and that God is the doer of good works through you.
This meditative moment, adapted from Mary Kupferle's God Will See You Through, is brought to you by Unity.
What is the key to happiness? Would you like to find the fountain of youth? How about all the money and love that you could handle? Well, my friends, it is there for you. You just need to strip off the false beliefs that keep your divine inheritance from being attracted into your life. You need to be real. Be vulnerable. Be naked. What are you waiting for? Let's get naked. This transformational program with Reverend Heidi Allfree is an invitation to explore and remove the blocks that keep you from emotional freedom. Listen to Heidi and her revealing guests as they embrace the power of spiritual nakedness as a guaranteed way to live an authentic and transparent life. Expose yourself to your greatness on Mondays at 3 p.m. Central Time. Let's get naked. No dress code required. Only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
You gotta get rid of your butt. It's bigger than it would appear. It hinders your forward movement when you keep bringing up the